Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
George Michael is your artist of the day. Can you look it up real quick? When did he die? Was it 2015?
It was 2016.
16.
The year where literally everyone died.
Oh,
George
that's
Michael
right.
died on Christmas.
That's right. Christmas Day of 2016. You're right. Was it fentanyl or?
No, I think it was a heart issue.
I think he had a heart issue too.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's get right to it. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Four families are suing Missouri schools and the state health department over vaccine requirements, calling the process of filing for an exemption a violation of religious freedom. A federal judge has already ruled that one of the unvaccinated students may continue going to school in Kansas City while the case continues. Before the judge issued the order last week, Crossroads Charter School had told the family the student must be vaccinated by mid-September or the child would not be allowed to attend, according to a letter obtained by the Star. The child's grandfather, Linus Baker of Stillwell, is also the attorney representing the families. Last month, Linus Baker filed a lawsuit in Kansas on behalf of another unvaccinated grandchild, a four-year-old, whom he and his wife have adopted as their son. That suit, which names the Blue Valley School District and Kansas State health officials, argues against Kansas's requirement for filing religious exemptions for vaccines. The lawsuits come in the midst of the vaccine war, as law professor Anne Marie Marciarilla calls them, a professor specializing in healthcare law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Marciarilla said statutory exemptions have been a flashpoint across this country. By the way, Missouri and Kansas both still allow for religious and medical exemptions for students to attend school without vaccines. Go ahead.
You know, what I would always ask is, what number are you comfortable with, Scott? 20% of the population, 30%? Because a lot of people are texting in saying, please explain to me if I vaccinated my kid, why it matters. And we have had experts
I've made that same argument.
We have had experts call in and explain it better than I can, but I will give it a shot. The vaccine is the best thing we have. It's not 100%. Let's say it's 99%. The more people who decide we're not going to get into that tent, okay? We're not going to do it. We're not going to vaccinate our kids. The more people that decide they're not going to play by the rules, it gives the disease a chance over time to change just a little bit, Scott. And when it starts to slowly change just a little bit or mutate, even if you are vaccinated, you are now at a higher risk for getting fill in the blank, even if you've had the vaccine.
Okay.
So those decisions, as more and more people decide, well, we're just not going to vaccinate our kids, it affects everybody. And you always say the government's responsibility is to protect you from me.
And me from you.
And, you know, if here's the other deal. If you are elderly, if you have a newborn, those decisions being made by families absolutely affect the health of your baby.
What do you do for students whose parents claim a religious exemption, as is the case in this one?
I think the scientist that called in the last time to explain this said if one or two children are claiming a religious exemption with herd immunity, that's fine. The problem becomes when it's 20 and then 50 and then 100 and then 1,000. That's where we start seeing the tipping point where healthy people who have played by the rules and had their kids vaccinated, those people are now getting sick.
But wasn't there a community in New York, and I'm going off memory here.
Oh, yeah, it was an epidemic.
Three or four months ago, they had a measles outbreak.
I think it was in the Hasidic Jewish community.
I think that's right. And I want to say that the state legislature, and again, just totally going off memory here, mandated that everybody in the state had to be vaccinated. You had to be vaccinated because there was a huge measles outbreak in New York. And the courts ruled that that was unconstitutional.
That you can't blanket mandate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree. I don't think you should blanket mandate it. But I also don't think we should be giving out religious exemptions like candy either. Because let's be honest, of all the people claiming religious exemptions, how many of them really have a religious exemption? Really,
Dana, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I don't. 576-7798. Let's go to Doug in Kansas City. Doug, hello.
How you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for asking, man.
Hey, I say if they send their kids to school unvaccinated, then you should have the right to sue them if your kid gets sick for all medical bills, and if it dies, parents should be prosecuted by the law. It's just like AIDS. I mean, kill.
Well, you mean if you knowingly transmit it without telling your partner, which is a little different. It's different.
If your kid gets sick, you knowingly sending it to school with a chance of it getting other people sick if you're not vaccinated.
Well, and the other thing to consider, Doug, and Scott, please respond, is that just because you kick a kid out of school doesn't mean we're all protected. These people are still going to Walmart. They're still going to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going out and about.
So what are you going to do about it?
Now schools are germy places, but so are hospitals, so are museums,
so is the counter at McDonald's.
Exactly.
So what are you going to do about it?
Scott, I don't know. People are breaking the social contract that we've all lived by for many years.
I understand.
It is a social contract.
See, I'm torn on this one, and here's why. And then you respond, because my children were vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
are vaccinated.
Yeah.
I was vaccinated. I mean, we would travel from whatever fort to whatever fort, and we carried with me, or my parents did, my vaccination card
mm-hmm.
so that we always had it when somebody needed it, you know, when we registered for school or whatever. I believe in vaccinations. I think you're a moron if you don't get your kid vaccinated. I really do. I think you're putting your kid's life at risk. I also think that the government doesn't have the right to tell me how to raise my child. And if they do, then pass a damned law.
But
they can't.
But you do understand that decision you are making for your child theoretically affects the health of other children. And that's where we get into some muddy territory.
So what are you going to do? Is the government going to require that you vaccinate your children? And hear me out. And if you say, hey, government,
yeah,
eat it. Are they going to storm your house, grab your children, and jam a needle in their arm? Can you imagine?
I can't. I mean, we would not live in a society that would play by those rules. You know, this isn't, you know, North Korea. They're not going to come into your house and make you.
Can you imagine the nightly news when,
with forced vaccinations,
when people from the Department of Health and Human Resources or whatever are kicking down doors, yanking children out of a house and vaccinating them on the front lawn of their parents' home? I mean, come on.
I don't think it's the not vaxxing them. I think it's the not vaxxing them and sending them to school. I mean, when you go to high school or college, you have to get certain vaccinations before they will admit you into that school.
Meningitis.
Fair point, Sam. But to Dana's point, the kids don't just live at school. You know, they go to the park. They go to McDonald's. So, I mean, we're talking about an eight-hour window out of every given day when your kid is around a bunch of other kids. But that's not the only time. So when you don't vaccinate your children, if it is such a gigantic risk, okay, and I have not bought into that yet. I haven't bought into this herd mentality kind of thing that you talk about.
It's not me. It's actually science, but okay. You don't have to buy into science if you don't want to, I suppose.
But I do understand your argument that, and I can certainly sympathize with it, and I could make the argument. It's not just the school. It's the McDonald's. It's the park. It's when they're playing, you know.
Do you have a right to send your child to school when they have a head full of lice?
They do. How do you think other kids get it?
The nurse will check, and if that child has an infestation, the child goes home. And I'm not comparing one to the other, but I am, because that outbreak absolutely affects everybody in that class. You know it does.
Sure does.
Especially during the winter when there's hats next to hats on those hooks. Can you imagine if the school said, we cannot have this child in school. You have eggs hatching as we speak in your child's hair.
Yeah.
And the parent said, well, I want them to be here.
576-7798. The text line is unanimous. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say kids are no longer sent home because of lice at school.
I'm glad to hear that. It's been
shocked you would say that.
2 years since I had a kid in elementary school, and we don't see it like we did in elementary school and middle school. So I'm, you know, good.
Yeah. Two different points of view. Scott, I can't believe that you don't believe in or fully understand herd immunity. Isn't your girlfriend an NP? Have a conversation with her. I bet she could tell you how important it is. Okay. Then somebody else says, you call us morons, when actually we have done more research than you could imagine. We take the time to research both sides and make an informed decision. Have you researched both sides? And to that, I would simply say no. I pay a pediatrician to do the research, and
doctor.
I trust their decision.
Real quick, I want to point out a distinction. This lawsuit is not really over whether or not you should get to go to school if you're not vaccinated. It's a very interesting legal argument to me that the state, this is in the lawsuit, should not be requiring you to fill out a form on religious grounds to exempt you from the vaccination. What this lawsuit says is the state has no business asking us with a religiously based exemption to go to some health department and fill out a form and explain ourselves. That's what this lawsuit is about. And I want to mention, there was a very similar case in Michigan in 2017. The federal appeals court in that case ruled against the family.
Let's go to Brent in Kansas City. Hello, Brent.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Hi.
Thanks.
Hey, will you guys allow me two or three talking points real quick just to discuss, and then you guys can cut me off and respond as you please.
We'll let you have as many as we can afford with the time before we get to the news, but go ahead.
All right. I understand that. So the herd immunity is a good topic of debate here, but herd immunity will never fully be 100% protected because the vaccines actually shed. It's in the manufacturer package insert. You'll never have true herd immunity because of that. The vaccinated people, because they shed, are actually putting other kids who aren't vaccinated at risk. So it's the exact opposite. It flips it on its head. So I don't know if you guys have read the package inserts, but you would be blown away at what's in there. And this is why they're trying to silence everybody, because if you're trying to sell a product, you don't want to tell people about the bad news of it, the bad things of it. You want nothing but selling points. And telling them that people are injuring themselves and dying and having encephalitis, you don't want people knowing about that.
But so Brent, I'm going to stop. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what else I don't want? Polio. Have you ever had polio?
Not at all.
Do you know why you've never had polio?
Why is that?
It was eradicated.
They eradicated it with the vaccine.
Actually, that's false. So if you look at the bar, the charts, the vaccine came out after the polio, measles, all those, past diseases. All those were basically eliminated before the vaccine came out. So you can't really make that claim.
Well, then how come the kids that end up with the measles, and there have been some outbreaks over the last year or so, how come the kids that always end up with the measles are the ones that never got vaccinated for the measles?
I just told you, Scott. It's because the ones that are vaccinated are spreading it. It's contagious up to 30 to 60 days after vaccination.
Oh, my goodness. Brent, come on. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Read the package insert.
So I was – wait. So I was spreading the measles because I had been MMR'd?
There is not enough live virus in those vaccinations to make you sick or anyone else.
Listen, I understand what you're trying to say. That's what I thought until I read it. I actually looked up the facts.
What's your source? Quickly.
Look up any pharmaceutical company's package insert, and you will be blown away. It's right there.
Okay. All right, buddy.
This seems to be very much along the same lines of the commercials that will list all the side effects of the drug, and up to including cancer and death. I mean, that seems to be very much along those same lines. Every possible thing that could potentially happen is listed.
No one ever has any comeback for the polio discussion. No one. The anti-vaxxers simply said, and there was a caller one time named Linda, I'll never forget it. I said, have you ever had polio? And she goes, well, that vaccine was okay, but the rest of them I don't want. Okay.
Fool believes. Now, you might think that's Michael McDonald. It is. It's also the Doobie Brothers.
Who recorded it first?
Ooh. Don't know.
Kenny Loggins.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he wrote it with Michael, but it was Kenny who recorded it first.
Doob's better with Michael McDonald or without Michael McDonald?
Oh, better with.
Oh.
I mean, after all, they didn't set sail on the ocean of smooth until Michael McDonald pulled into port.
I mean, clearly.
Story here from the Dayton Daily News.
Oh, this is crazy. Listen to this.
The football official who was headbutted by a helmeted Dunbar High School player on August 31st was diagnosed with a concussion from the incident, according to his testimony this week in front of the Ohio Senate. Football official Scott Bistrick went to the emergency room the next day, underwent CAT scans, according to testimony that he submitted in support of Senate Bill 118, which would make assaulting a sports official a felony. The bill was before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday.
Now, I don't know, and we can debate whether or not this should be a felony. I tend to think it should. This was a helmeted player who headbutted a referee. Today, they have charged him with felonious assault causing serious injury, which is a second-degree felony.
Well, the helmet in and of itself is a weapon.
He is in juvenile detention now until the first court date, and the referee is saying, I could have been gravely injured or killed.
He says, and I quote Bistrick's testimony here, the headaches the first couple of days were worse than I have ever had. 2 weeks later, I still have occasional headaches. I'm a very active person. And to not be able to do much at all for a week was extremely hard for me. Bright lights, too much TV, sound made my head pound. The incident occurred in the second quarter of Dunbar's game against Roger Bacon and led to the rest of the game being canceled.
Yeah, they took everyone off the field right after the headbutt. They physically, forcibly removed the kid who headbutted him, and then they said, everybody out, everybody off the field.
The incident occurred, as I mentioned, in the second quarter. The game was immediately suspended. The player was flagged for a personal foul. Quote here from Bistrick, the player did not think the call was fair and was very incensed and was cursing. At this point, I motioned the player off the field and told him he needed to go off for a play to calm down. The player was not being ejected from the game, just being sent to the sideline for a play to calm down. At this time, the player says, F you, and then headbutts me.
Now, this school had been called for 3 unsportsmanlike penalties prior to the assault. Is that a high number for a high school?
Yes.
For one team?
For one player, yes.
That's 3. Extremely high for one player.
One of the things I would ask is, you know, do we let it get to that point? And most reasonable adults would say no.
Well, and that's why he says, Scott Bistrick, the official, Dana, says, I told the kid, go to the sidelines
cool
for
off.
One play. You're out of control. You've had 3 personal penalties, personal foul penalties. You need to go calm down. The kid says to him, according to Bistrick, F you, and then headbutts him. At which point, the game is off.
I think you have to charge him. You have to charge him with a felony.
Well, that kid should never play football again. You're done.
I agree. I agree.
I've never...
That's one and done. You assault a referee...
I've never understood getting mad at a referee. Whether you're a parent on the sideline, whether you're a player on the field, or a coach.
Now, do they expel people from sports in high school for... You know, throwing a punch at another player in,
yes.
let's say, in baseball? Or
yes.
if there's a brawl?
Yes. Goodbye. Okay. You're
okay.
out.
Okay.
They do that in the majors.
Okay.
I'm actually really surprised that after 3 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on this one player, that at the very least, the coach hadn't pulled him out,
mm-hmm.
let alone him having been ejected from the game.
They had 12 overall penalties. I think it was the 3rd unsportsmanlike penalty on the team. I don't know that they were all against this kid.
Okay.
But
that's still a lot.
But even then, you're saying 3 is extreme.
I would say 3 against a team is a lot. 3 against a single player by the second quarter is unheard of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even 3 against an entire team in the second quarter of a high school football game
is still way too much.
Yeah, because chances are, you got to keep this in mind, chances are they're not even playing 15 minutes a quarter.
Yeah,
I mean, in high school, you typically have 12-minute
quarters. Is the season over, or do you just take the one player and say you're out?
Well, I'll take it a step further. I'm not going to stop at the player. I'm going to say the coach has to go. I have coached a lot of teenagers in my life, and I have seen kids start to lose their cool on the field. I immediately pull them for them to calm down. It happens. I mean, you think that the other team is not treating you fairly, that you think that you're being picked on or you're being targeted or whatever. I have seen kids start to lose their cool. The only way to calm them down is to take them out of the game, at least temporarily, get them to the sideline, say, listen, you need to calm down. You are out of control.
Yeah.
This coach didn't realize that this kid was losing it, give me a break.
You don't think he just randomly snapped after being completely lovely up to this point?
Probably not.
Right.
And I'm sure that this kid's got a bit of a reputation on the team to begin with.
Hmm.
But for a kid, it's a high school football game. Calm down. You're not in the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'll admit, I've gotten bent out of shape at officials, but I've never come anywhere close to that.
The personal foul, by the way, just to remind everyone, was for shoving another player. So the flag was thrown and the personal foul was called after this same kid shoved another player. It was after that
he referee,
turned around.
Well,
and
the referee said,
you need to calm down.
You need to step out for a play. It's time to get off the field for a minute. F you.
That was a good reenactment of a headbutt, actually.
Thanks.
Do it again harder.
And keep doing it until you're catatonic.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. What do you do with this kid? Have you seen something like this when you've been to a sporting event? I mean, people do lose their cool. It does happen. I would
but
make
to
the argument.
The point of felony assault.
And there's another good question. Should you be charged for things that you do on the field of play? I mean, let's be honest. Every play in a football game is in and of itself an assault. But nobody gets charged because it's a sport. 576-7798. Get to the phones. Kay in Overland Park. Kay, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Real quickly, I would like to see what happened to that kid that day. I would like to know what his day looked like. I would like to know if this is typical behavior. I would like to see him pulled for the next game at least. And I would like for him to see not a school counselor, but a regular type Dr. Phil counselor. Once, like an anger counselor, just to find out, put it all together, and then if he's okay and it was a one-time incident, you know, let him play. But I bet you anything there's something else going on.
It's a good point, Kay, and I think there are people who believe, and I tend to agree, that sometimes football and having a coach and having that team atmosphere around you is the best thing for kids who are struggling in, you know, whatever arena.
I agree. And, you know, the game that we watched over the weekend and some of the shenanigans they were doing, you know, if you think that that's a way to show anger, you know, maybe they need to have a talk about that's not the right way to play the game.
All right, Kay. Glad to get you in. Steve in Kansas City. Steve, good afternoon, my friend.
Hi. I used to officiate high school football years ago. I had to give it up for my job. I just couldn't keep up with it. There's a lot of this, I believe, goes all the way back to the coaches, the parents, and even the football that we watch on weekends. If you watch those coaches and those players on Sunday, the way they talk to the officials, the way they treat some of them, and it's gotten a little bit better lately. The last couple of years, I've been seeing them give unsportsmanlike conduct players. On some of these players, but they talk to them terrible. The coaches treat them, you know, real bad. College is pretty much the same way. It's not as bad in college. In high school, we've had coaches come out on the field and call us every name in the book. Now, and I've kind of lost track of the rules now. I've forgotten a lot of them. You know, you can, of course, give them an unsportsmanlike conduct, stuff like that. But the players see that stuff. And if you don't knock it in the head real quick, mm-hmm. it'll get out of hand. Pretty soon you've got the players acting just like that, just like the coaches. Yeah. And the parents are the same way. You go to some of these high school football games, And the parents are just crazy. I will be the first to admit there are a lot of bad calls in high school football. There's a lot of missed calls in high school football. But you gotta remember there's only five guys out there on that field to watch 22 kids. And so they're going to miss a lot. And it's not like they get a lot of training. They have a very short training season, and they have regular jobs. You know, you can't live off of the high school football pay.
Sure.
So they don't get a lot of training. They're going to miss a lot of calls. But the way these parents get on the sidelines and then the coaches, and then what these kids are seeing these players do on Saturday and Sunday, they're just doing the same thing.
You know, I always think back, and I knew him casually. We were not friends, but we were acquaintances. Roy Williams, when he was at KU, and I love the guy, and he, of course, he's a great coach. It always bothered me when people would cheer when Roy Williams would rip off his sports coat.
There goes the jacket.
Yep, and that's what the commentators would say. There goes the jacket. And he would rip off his sports coat in anger over some call that was made and throw it on the court. And I used to think to myself, that guy.
Are you sure you're talking about Roy Williams and not Bill Self?
Bill Self does it too. A lot of college coaches do it. And I just think to myself, and I'm immature, but I get paid to be immature. They're professionals.
I don't know that I remember Coach Williams ever throwing the jacket.
I would argue that some of these coaches are paid to be immature as well. I mean, by the time Bobby Knight was at Texas Tech, he wasn't there for his coaching prowess. He was there to sell tickets so people could see him throw a chair.
Look, he threw a chair.
Break a clipboard over the knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember when Bobby Knight threw that chair? They were in Puerto Rico. I believe he was coaching the U.S. national team at the time, if I'm not mistaken. And he chucked a chair across the entire court. I mean, grow up.
But what? We shouldn't laugh, because I do think his shenanigans got way out of hand, like bumping up against assault. But it was funny. We did laugh.
Yeah,
we made signs when he came into town.
There was a lot more attention paid to him than anyone else on the sideline, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Sometimes even more attention paid to him than anyone on the court.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.